Sharon?
Okay, I'm going to call the meeting to order. Sharon?
Yes, sir.
Roll call.
Trustee Wheeler Coleman. Trustee Anthony Iosco.
Here.
Trustee Robert Marshall.
Here.
Trustee Mark Strauss.
Here.
Student trustee Elliot Eccles.
Here.
Board chair John Butler.
Here.
Trustee Carolyn Muir. Here. Committee chair Robert Boy.
Here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, welcome everyone to the CAL committee. I like those acronyms. CAL. Pretty soon we're going to have first name pronunciations for all the committees. Do you think you can do that, Jerry?
There are those working on it as we speak.
Okay, Jerry, verification?
This meeting has been provided sufficient notice under the Open Meetings Act.
Thank you. May I have a motion to approve the committee agenda as proposed? Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Discussion? All right, and then I'm going to move on. The approval of all in favor?
Aye.
Are we there on the right-hand side? Thank you. Thank you. All right. And the motion's approved. And review and approval minutes of February 27, 2014 CAL committee meeting. May I have a motion on that?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. I want to welcome the University Advisory Committee representative that are here this morning. Alan Rosenbaum, Executive Secretary of the University Council and President of the Faculty Senate. Alan, you there? Welcome again. And Deborah Halitzer, President of the Supportive Professional Staff Council. Deborah, are you there? Hi. Okay. Any one of you would like to make any comments?
Thank you, Chair Boyd. I think in the interest of efficiency, I will not make a comment at this time.
Okay, thank you. Deborah, you feel the same?
Same.
Okay, thank you. Jerry, public comments, any?
No registered public comments.
Okay. And in the university report today, we're going to have the student athletes and collective bargaining that are you here to do that?
Yes. Well, Jerry's going to start
this. Yeah. Oh, Jerry's going to start that. Okay, all right. The this session of the CAL committee will focus on compliance. In the recent past, we have focused on the audit function. And at our last meeting, our interim chief financial officer, Nancy, who's sitting right next to me here, provided us with an excellent presentation of the fiscal year 2013 external audit report. And a special thanks to you, Nancy. We appreciate not only the report that you provided to the committee, but the work that you're doing on behalf of the university on a daily basis. Thank you. Today, our agenda includes discussion of a current topic of national interest, bargaining and student athletes. Over the past few weeks, the local and national headlines have been filled with issues related to whether student athletes, particularly football players at Northwestern University, have the right to organize. The purpose of today's session will be to provide a summary of the legal issues associated with this topic, but more importantly, to apprise the committee of the compliance efforts of Northern Illinois University. This is a topic we are familiar with and one which university continues to place as a high priority. We are proud of the work that our Associate Vice President for Intercollegiate Athletics and Athletic Director and his staff have done in this area, and we are committed to continued support of our athletic compliance program. I would like to now ask our Interim Chief Financial Officer to introduce our presenters for today's discussion.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I believe okay. Our general Nancy. Counsel, mm-hmm.
Jerry Blakemore, will mm-hmm. lead off, mm-hmm. followed by our Director of Athletics, mm-hmm. John Frazier, and mm-hmm. members of his staff.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you so much. In the interest of time, I've got a PowerPoint. There'll be an examination, Law School 101 afterwards. I'm kidding. I'm going to provide a very, very quick legal perspective on the issue of students and collective bargaining. But there's really four talking points that I want to go to. If we can go to the next slide. there was interest on the part of members of the board when this became such a public issue. There was interest on the part of the board to see what, if any, effect that what is happening with Northwestern and the NLRB, the National Labor Relations Board, would have on our university. And so what I want to do is sort of focus on the question that was asked, but ultimately turn this over so we can really get to those issues that are most relevant to Northern Illinois University. In that regard, the National Labor Relations Board decision to allow for an election or collective bargaining for Northwestern football students does not have an impact on Northern Illinois University or any other public university. The jurisdiction of the NLRB is limited to private entities, institutions, not public. And so, first talking point, a lot of discussion, but not particularly relevant or binding at this point on us. Second point, we can go to the next slide. This is the timetable of those events, but the bottom line is, let's go to the next slide. The bottom line on this is that there will not be a legal decision on this, in my opinion, for at least another year. The NLRB at the regional level has acted. The NLRB board itself will take action. They will not take action until, they will not even set a hearing for this case before August or September. It is more likely than not, if we can go to the next slide, that the case, whatever the decision of the National Labor Relations Board is, will be appealed to the appellate court. Because this is in our district, the Northeast District, the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, it will actually be heard in Chicago. But again, given the magnitude of the decision, it is more likely than not will probably be taken up by the Supreme Court. My final point, there are six legal issues that have been raised in this case. I will not go through those issues. They are part of the record if anyone has a particular interest in them. Here's the most important part, and let's go to the last slide. The most important point is that as it relates to Northern Illinois University, our focus needs to continue to be on NCAA compliance as opposed to what is happening possibly on the private side. So our focus would continue to be on how we are complying, particularly with the NCAA and the reforms that they are considering. So bottom line, there's a lot of discussion about Northwestern and the football players. It really has little to do with us in the short term. In the event there are any long-term implications, it would require state legislative action or federal congressional action in order to have us be part of that discussion. With that, I'll turn it over to the real compliance experts on NCAA and call on Sean Frazier, our athletic director.
Thanks a lot, Jerry. I appreciate that. Members of the board, thank you very much for having me today. I appreciate it. To be perfectly honest with you, I'm really focusing on Northwestern's football program that we'll be dealing with shortly here this fall. I think we've done a good job about on the private side about what's going on the unionization piece of it. I think that it's really important for us to dive into pieces of, and what's going around too is a little token of our appreciation and our support. Don't try to put that on. With the concussions and things that are going on right now, it would not help you. Yes, just a little bit of momentum of our bowl in our 12-0 regular season on behalf of the athletic department, Rod Carey. So the real issue for us, which is extremely important, is our ongoing compliance effort from the NCAA perspective. We have our compliance team here, and I'll introduce them in a second. We'll go through a little bit of a breakdown of what we do at NIU. But I think what's really important is to understand is to have command and control of those particular metrics that govern the data component of tracking our student athletes. And then the other piece of it, which is extremely important, is the regulation of our graduation success rates, the GSR, or our academic progress rates, the APR. In collegiate athletics, we do a lot of acronyms, and we perform at a speed that commands the NCAA for that oversight component. So it's really important. I'm going to call up my deputy athletic director, Christian Spears, who is pretty much my right-hand man on these. He's also nationally recognized in this particular area of NCAA compliance. So I'm extremely happy to have him on board. And my associate athletic director, Lindsay Hicks, as well, who does a fantastic job with monitoring and in the day-to-day component. You guys could come up and we'll kind of walk through this presentation, then we'll have a little time for Q&A from there.
Christian. Thank you. The last time I was here presenting to this committee, we got a standing ovation because we were coming off of an Orange Bowl. So I'm wondering where that is, Dr. Boy. You actually stopped the meeting when we walked in, and I'll never forget that moment. But so our token this year, obviously after our 12-0 season, these helmets signed by Rod and Sean, I hope you guys enjoy those, as opposed to the, I think it was the fleece pullovers that we gave you after the Orange Bowl, but thank you for that. All right, so what we wanted to touch on more importantly is how we go about interacting with our student athletes specifically. So in 2009, when Lindsay and I arrived here, one of our first initiatives was to build a student athlete database. And we built that in coordination with our campus ITS, our right here, homegrown. A lot of people buy outside products or software to help manage these things. Instead, we determined to build it internally with our campus support. It took us a little bit of time to get everyone on board to kind of see the big picture and what we were trying to accomplish. But what it does is it gives us real-time data to our student athletes. And we ask them a lot of specific questions about their type of experience they want to have, the type of program they want to see, whether or not they're interested in going to graduate school, what kind of career opportunities they want after graduation. So no matter what happens with NCAA legislation, no matter what happens with the Northwestern case, for example, we are prepared here to deal immediately with any student-athlete concern because we have access to our own internal student-athlete database that we can manipulate, change, ask different questions, assess their priorities, and really deal with it real-time, firsthand, and quickly. Lindsay plays an amazingly large role in building this, and really coordinated the effort on behalf of our intercollegiate athletic program when we arrived. So I'm going to allow her, through Brett Russell, our NCAA compliance coordinator, who's going to walk us through some of the database. We're actually going to show you briefly the kind of the back end of it, just so you guys have a context and a sense of exactly what we do with it. So Brett, you want to go ahead and click on that and get us going? Hopefully technology works. All right, Lindsay.
All right, as Christian mentioned, we're just going to kind of walk you through what our database looks like and the advantages of working with an on-campus unit. So all the information is pulled in from PeopleSoft, and we don't have any of the security issues that you do if you hire an outside company. So as Brett just pulled up, on the left-hand side, you'll see that we can manage the people that are administrators on this database. You also have the ability to manage the data that is listed on front, and then also we're able to edit the text. So what's crucial about that is just mentioning the different NCAA reforms and the changes in legislation, we're able to actually go in. Brett, you want to click on that real quick? We're able to go in and update the information so that we're not having to go directly to ITS on any of those. So if Brett clicks on any of the items, you'll just see that it's editable and we're able to change the language there. So each July, the NCAA comes up with slight changes in all of the different forms that we're required to have signed off, and we're able to then update them in real time. You can go back to manage the data now, Brett. So here you'll see that it's currently listed as the year 2014. In terms of the database, the 2014 is for the next academic year, so 14-15. If it goes back to 2013, you'll be able to see that we can look at everything as whether all the information, whether things have been submitted and whether they've been approved by the compliance office. We also have the opportunity to look based on everyone who has been coded or those those that are only active or inactive. Now, this was something that we worked closely with internal audits on, because a lot of times we have student athletes that begin the year and then they are no longer on the roster at the end of the year. So we're able to keep the same data that we need for those that originally filled it out but now are inactive, while also having an active list that if we're needing to get any of this information to anyone, all of the coding is done in PeopleSoft and ties directly to the database. So there are only certain people that are actually allowed to fill out the information on the database, and it's just done through a link on our website, and they sign in with their ZID and password just like they would to get into anything within MyNIU. And then, Brett, you just want to click on one of the individuals listed. So what's really great about this is you'll see all the check boxes on the left-hand side. This isn't a technical term, but it's essentially dummy-free, so that no one can complete this without actually finishing everything. If there's X's, they're not able to go on to the next part. And then we are able to approve it, and if there's questions, send them information and everything like that. Brett, you can go back now again. And then probably one of the greatest things is we're able to generate reports based on every single section that you just saw with the checkboxes. And so we can pick any of them. And as Christian kind of mentioned, if we look at all of the sections, and then we can type in the specific sport that we're looking for, and it will allow us the ability to export this data. So what this helps us with is a lot of programming for beyond just athletically related, but academically, and also our life skills program. So whether there are student athletes that want to go to grad school or whatever their career interest is or any concerns that they have, we're able to pull up all this information and address it because it's all listed within our database. So we're able to craft questions specific to what the needs or what we want to know about the student athlete population at that time. That is all the information on the student athlete database.
That's a quick question. What is the population of the student athletes?
How many total?
Yeah.
We probably range between about 400 and 410, depending on the specific time of year. So.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Brett, is that still up? Can we go one last thing I wanted to show them? If it's not still up, we can skip it.
I know that name.
Okay, let's just go forward. What I was trying to emphasize is that drop-down menu that shows all the different reporting functions from an individual thing, whether it's, do we have consent to drug test our student athletes, or can you verify your automobile registration? There's all sorts of things that Division I athletic programs are required to monitor. This database does that for us, and we specifically ask the questions of our student athletes and we require them to fill it out. So if and when we ever were to get accused or, God forbid, an allegation of impermissible benefit was provided, we go directly to our database, look and see how the student athlete responded, and then provide that information to an outside audit, NCAA audit, whatever it happens to be. So we are well positioned to make sure that this group feels comfortable about how we're managing our athletic program.
Christian, you have a number of regulations that you're responsible for complying with. So I'm wondering whether you have gotten to the point where you've constructed some sort of a dashboard, a Christmas tree affair, something that allows you quickly to be able to determine when you have to be able to examine things that are required for compliance and whether or not they're in compliance.
Well, to be honest with you, we use the self-reported violations that we have as an institution, and then we review the self-reported violations that other like-minded institutions, we usually utilize our own conference, the Mid-American Conference, to determine that. We're in a situation where our conference has its own infractions committee. There's only two conferences in the country that have their own internal infractions committee, the Pac-12 and the Mid-American Conference. So we get access via Sean or Deborah or myself or Lindsay to every single school's self-reported violation. And then we review those to say, will we have a similar problem on our campus? And that becomes our dashboard to kind of assess, well, if our like-minded school or a similarly situated school is involved in these things, then maybe we should do a double and triple check to make sure that we're not. And I would imagine that they do the same thing with our self-reported violations.
But But you haven't found a way yet to be able to identify, for instance, those things that are higher risk, to look at them proactively. I'm asking so that we can see whether there are some models that we can apply more generally throughout the university.
Right. Yeah, other than assessing our own you know, like-minded institutions and then our roles on national committees, we're in a situation where, you know, I'm the past president and Lindsay's on the board of directors, Sean's the past president of MOA. So we have access to national data that we also have conversations about. Hey, are we going to have this issue here? Or do we need to reassess how we manage a particular process or protocol based on what's happening nationally? So do we have a specific dashboard? No, but do we have a keen interest in understanding what's happening at other institutions and use those things in our own dialogue? Yes.
Thanks. Yeah. Anybody else?
Okay,
lastly, I wanted to touch you very quickly. I wanted you guys to see the national metrics. These are the metrics that you, as a board of trustees or the Carl Committee responsible for compliance, should be aware of. So the NCAA has the academic progress rate. The key thing here is to understand that the APR, all of our teams are above the 930 cut score. The 930 cut score is very important because it can put you in a situation where you will not be eligible for postseason competition and or suspensions of particular sport teams or student athletes. We want to stay above the 930 cut score. That is our goal. We have remained above the 930 cut score since the inception of the APR, and we hope to continue to do that. We have programs that are near and dear and that are closely related to that 930 cut score, that we have processes, policies, programs, and protocols in place to ensure that we maintain a high level of scrutiny when and if we do become close to that cut score, that bottom line that we cannot fall below. So we hope to maintain our ability to manage that. And we want you guys to be aware that that is an important metric for us all to understand. Mark.
I'm curious as to what the impact is on the APR when you have student athletes who leave your program.
Yeah, we do projection worksheets on every single student athlete. Anytime we have a transfer situation or a kid who becomes ineligible and leaves our institution, we review with the coach and the athletic director, as well as the sport administrator, the impact of that individual student athlete leaving the program real time, and then we assess, project forward on what this will do to our APR in the next year. And that is somewhat unique. You would think everyone would do that, but I can tell you that, you know, out of 127 Division I football playing institutions, not everyone does that. We do, because we want to make sure that we have a real-time understanding of a projected forward look on the impact of one student athlete leaving our program.
Trustee, any other questions?
The GSR quickly, Brett. And then lastly, the graduation success rate. What I want to point out here is this is a six-year graduation rate that includes transfers that leave our institution eligible and transfers that come into our institution and graduate. So it's different than the federal graduation rate in just that respect. We are well above the national average here. We lead the Mid-American Conference in our, arguably the most visible sport, football, with an 85% graduation success rate. We are well positioned to maintain success in our graduate success rate with the way this institution long ago determined. Our academic program is outside of athletics. It reports to the provost office. We have great people in those areas. They make sound decisions. They work critically and appropriately with our faculty, reviewing our individual student athletes, and we are earmarked for success long term because of the decisions that were made long ago on how we manage our academic program here at NIU.
Great, thank you. Anything else?
This is a fun little stat just for the academic BCS, USA Today, and an independent educational council puts out who does the best job at a football playing institutions, graduating their student athletes and ensuring they're academically successful. And you can see for the last 2 years, unfortunately, we've been second. But good company, and hopefully we'll be able to right that ship and get to number one.
Great. Well, thank you, Sean, Kristen, and Lindsay, for taking the time. And thank you for managing our program so well. Yep. We appreciate it. Have
thank
a good
you.
Day.
Please
thank you.
Will.
Okay. I think that, and are there any other matters to come before this committee? The next meeting date is November 6th. And I have here 12:30, but then again, I have here 10 o'clock for today, so it's debatable. But thank you all for coming. Have a good day. Thank you.
I move to adjourn.
Yes. Motion to adjourn?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Have a good day, all.